All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, Chapter 6, and we'll be covering verses from 32 to 35. Yeah. So verse number 32. Param param Vaishnavam amanantita. Yaneti neti tiyatad utsis krishava.
Yaneti neti tiyatad utsis krishava.
Visidya doratmyam ananya sorhida.
Visidya doratmyam ananya sorhida.
Hrido paguyashvasitam samahitai.
Hrido paguyashvasitam samahitai.
Please chant.
Param param Vaishnavam atmanantita.
Param param Vaishnavam atmanantita.
Yaneti neti tiyatad utsishishuva.
Yaneti neti tiyatad utsishishuva.
Vrishitya taratmyam ananya sohida.
Vrishitya taratmyam ananya sohida. You.
Men have done, the ladies have done, the children have done.
Yeah.
The brother must do.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody. Translation. Actually, we'll do word to word. Param.
Param.
The Supreme.
Supreme.
Padam.
Padam.
Situation.
Situation.
Vaishnavam.
Vaishnavam.
Of Lord Vishnu.
Of Lord Vishnu.
Amananti.
Amananti.
They designate.
They designate.
Tat.
That.
Yat.
Yat.
Which.
Which.
Not iti. Not iti.
Not iti, not iti.
Not this, not this.
Not this, not this.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus analyzing.
Thus analyzing.
Atat.
Atat.
Everything extraneous.
Everything extraneous.
Utsis krishavaha.
Utsis
krishavaha. Those who are desirous of giving up.
Those who are desirous of giving up.
Residya.
Residya.
Rejecting.
Rejecting.
Dauratmyam.
Pretty
petty materialism.
Materialism.
Ananya.
Ananya.
Placing nowhere else.
Placing nowhere else.
Sarhida.
Sarhida.
Their affection.
Their
Hida.
Hida.
Within their hearts.
Within their
hearts. Upaguhya.
Upaguhya.
Embracing him.
Embracing him.
Avasitam.
Avasitam.
Who is captured.
Who is captured.
Samahitai. By those who meditate upon him in trance.
By those who meditate upon him in trance.
Translation. And purport by Srila Prabhupada's qualified, learned disciple. Those who desire to give up all that is not essentially real move systematically by negative discrimination of the extraneous to the supreme position of Lord Vishnu. Giving up petty materialism, they offer their love exclusively to the absolute truth within their hearts and embrace that highest truth in fixed meditation. Purport. The words yan neti, neti iti, atat utsis krishava indicate the process of negative discrimination by which one engaged in the search for essential and absolute truth systematically rejects all that is superfluous, superficial, and relative. Throughout the world, people have gradually rejected the ultimate validity of political, social, and even religious truths. But because they lack Krishna consciousness, they remain bewildered and cynical. However, as clearly stated here, param padam vaishnavam atmanantita. Those who actually desire perfect knowledge must not only reject the non-essential, but must also ultimately understand the essential spiritual reality called param padam vaishnavam, the supreme destination, the abode of Lord Vishnu. Padam indicates both the status and the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which can be understood only by those who will give up petty materialism and adopt the position of Ananya Sarhidam, exclusive love for the Lord. Such exclusive love is not narrow-minded or sectarian, because all living entities, being within the Lord, are automatically served when one directly serves the Supreme Entity. This process of rendering the highest service to the Lord and to all the living entities constitutes the science of Krishna consciousness, which is taught throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll chant the three more verses together. Taetat ati gachanti vishnoyat paramam padam aham mameti varjanyam nayesham deha gehajam. Such devotees come to understand the supreme transcendental situation of the Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, because they are no longer polluted by the concepts of I and my, which are based on the body and home. Ati vadam titiksheta navamanye katanchana nachemam deham ashitya vairam kurvita kenachit. One should tolerate all insults and never fail to show proper respect to any person. Avoiding identification with the material body, one should not create enmity with anyone. Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Krishnaya Kuntame Dhase Yat Padam Bhuha Jnanat Samhitam Adhyagam Imam. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the invincible Lord Shri Krishna. Simply by meditating upon his lotus feet, I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature. Starting from the last verse, so this seems like it's, there are different, we could see that there are different endings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One ending could be when Shukadeva Goswami spoke his last words to Maharshi Parikshit. So as we know, Shukadeva Goswami is the one who spoke the Bhagavatam. So when he left, is that better? So when he left, in one sense, that was one ending of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, after Shukadeva Goswami spoke and he left, now Sukha Goswami seems like has another ending here. He's saying, this is his concluding verse, so to speak. He's saying, I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature because he has been meditating upon the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna. So we can meditate upon the lotus feet of our beautiful Radhe Shyam and by his lotus feet, and by their mercy, we can study and appreciate this great literature. Now, this verse prior to that, now, let's say this is the, as I said, this is one of the endings, so let's say this is the last verse of the Bhagavatam. Prior to the last verse, it's interesting what he's saying. He says, one should tolerate all insults and never fail to show proper respect to any person. In other words, it seems like that is something very, very important message that he wants to give to all of us. You might think, why is he saying that? The second last verse. Although we do know that he just, after Shukadev left, he just spoke about Janmajaya. Janmajaya, we've been hearing that how he got really mad when he found out that his father was bitten by Taksha. So, in other words, and then what he did a sacrifice. He was so mad. I mean, can you imagine his anger? He was so angry that not only that he'd had a sacrifice, but all the snakes would come. Well, the other snakes didn't have anything to do with it. So he had all the snakes come, but then when he found that the Takshaka was taking shelter of Indra, he said, let Indra come in the fire. And not only that Indra comes along with, and all the hosts of demigods. Do you see how angry he was? So angry. And why? Because his father was bit by a snake. He was so angry. Why do you think he's saying one should tolerate all insults? Just for this class, we will just suspend the, you know, we can see when we read the Bhagavatam, there are different levels we can hear the Bhagavatam. So we can hear the Bhagavatam on the understanding of the, you know, Adidevi platform where, why is this happening? This is Krishna's arrangement for this and that to be done. So we'll suspend that for right now. And we'll look at the story level. And then Adhyatmik, what we can get from the story. So we can see that how, why he's saying, and so this is the end of the Bhagavatam, he's talking about that. And we know from the start of the Bhagavatam what happened. It started with an insult. That whole insult with, well, Parikshit started with, he got insulted because the sage did not welcome him. So he puts this snake. And then Sringi, the son of the sage, got insulted. And so now this is the end, start and end. The conclusion has come now. But in between what was happening, if you meditate on the Bhagavatam, the whole Bhagavatam is consists of insults. One insult after another. So many insults. The Bhagavatam is all full of insults. How this one insulted and how this one reacted. Now, if you look at the, going backwards, you look at the verse prior to that, verse number 33, and actually we can look at verse number 32 too. He says, Sutta Goswami says, he talks about the great devotees of the Lord. They give up petty materialism, dauratmyam, and they exclusively love the Supreme. But how are they able to do that? Which describes in verse number 33, they are no longer polluted by the concepts of I and my. So this concept of I and my seems like the problem. When we think I and my, that's our consciousness is polluted. Now if you think about, I was meditating on this I and my, and I was thinking how, even if you look at Maharaj Parikshit, when he was insulted, when the sage didn't welcome him, his reaction was mild. He just saw a snake, he didn't know what to do, he was kind of upset, and he saw a dead snake and he just fling it. And then later on he thought about it. Well, maybe the sage was not really feigning, he was actually meditating. But he did that. You see other examples where the reaction of, like Dhruva Maharaj, when he was insulted, he didn't really harm anybody. He went for self-purification, absorption. He had his goal, but it was more about how to reach his goal. But when it comes to mind, when the mind gets insulted, that's when the emotions become so complex. It's just not just your own ego, but it involves those that is very dear to you, the mind. And you see in the Bhagavatam what happens when the mind gets insulted. The mind got insulted. We say how Janmajaya, we just heard what he did. We hear about Dhruva Maharaj, what he did when his brother was killed, Uttama. He went, wow, his emotions went skyrocketing. He just was killing all the yakshas. He just went haywire, just like killing all the yakshas. What does that show? His emotions were so strong because his was insulted. Then you have reactions like Parvati. Parvati had a fight with her husband. She wanted to go to the sacrifice of her father. So she was was a little upset with Shiva not letting or telling her she shouldn't really go, but she wanted to go. And she committed suicide. Why did she commit suicide? She did not commit suicide because she was insulted. She did not commit suicide because her father did not greet her properly. It wasn't about her. It was about hers, her husband. It was not about herself, but it was about her husband. So much emotions come when the mind is insulted. How dare you insult mine? Again, we're suspending the higher level of who these personalities are, but seeing everything on the story level. And we see that how these devotees have reacted. Even, again, taking an example of Parvati again, when Chitraketu insulted, made some remark about Lord Shiva, and she cursed. She cursed him to become a demon. I mean, if you really think about it, was that offense so bad that he, I forget, what did Chitraketu say? Look at that, you're giving the Bhagavatam class in front of everybody and you have your wife sitting on your lap. I mean, maybe that's not the thing to do, but that's what he did. Again, these are great personalities. But so that's what the remark he made. And she said something like, you know, you're not fit to get devotion to Lord Vishnu. So she cursed him to be a demon. So this is I and my. This is my attachment. So if we see that all these great personalities, and there, I'm sure you can name so many yourself in the Bhagavatam, how much emotions and anger and whatever has caused by the mind being insulted. You have either I'm being insulted or mind being insulted. But my is definitely, I find that is much stronger from the examples that I was thinking of. So if all these personalities have so much emotions that come out in this way, then what to speak about us? Should we feel morose that when we find our emotions being, go out of whack, when my kid, my husband, my this one or that one, or myself get insulted? Hey, we are human, so we go through that, you know. We see the personalities are doing the same thing. But certainly, Suta Goswami is begging us, or please, you know, this is important. If you all, he's talking to 88,000, I think this is 88,000 sages that are sitting in front of him, and these are all sages. And I guess we are all wannabe sages. He's saying that we need to give up this concept of I and my in order for us to love Krishna. Because those who love Krishna, they give up this petty materialism. I mean, Bhadra Prabhu was just singing this nice bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur. Vishaya chariya kabe shuddha habimana. When will this petty materialism, can I give that up? Well, Bhagavatam also gives us an example of, and other examples, but one example that I wanted to focus was how to give up this, how to deal with this feelings of the insult that comes and the emotions that comes, how to deal with it. How can we give them up? And how can we love Krishna? And that example is given by Mother Suniti. As we know, Mother Suniti, we know the story of how Dhruva Maharaj, when he was insulted by his father, so he came to his mother's palace, and she didn't know what was happening. So this young boy comes, and his lips are trembling, his lips. So you can see when you're angry, the lips are trembling, and he's crying. Naturally, the mother is thinking, oh, what happened? So she picks Dhruva and places him on her lap. And she places, in the meantime, right at that time, the maidservants who had heard what went on expressed that to Mother Suniti. Mother Suniti, you can imagine, it describes that she felt she burnt up in a forest fire. She felt like a burnt leaf. And it specifically says that this tested her patience. In other words, she was a very patient woman. But when she saw her young son being so insulted, her heart broke. And she also, like him, started crying. Mothers normally don't do that when their kids cry, do they? You pacify them. But it hurt her so much that she herself started crying and started breathing heavily. But the fact was that she didn't know what to do. It was a situation, and she felt like there was nothing that she could do. And she told that to Dhruva. She said, you know, your father does not even consider me as a wife. And doesn't even consider me as a maidservant. I'm nothing to him. And because she describes that because she didn't have any solution to help her son, she said, the first thing she said, my dear boy, my dear Dhruva, you know, when you cause pain to others, it just comes back to yourself. It's not auspicious to give pain to others. That's what Suniti said. Rather than, I'm going to talk to your dad, you know. I'm going to tell him how dare that woman, you know. No. She was angry. She was hurt. But in that anger and hurt, she was able to give some advice that was needed for Dhruva to hear. And then, as we know, she directed him to the forest and to go and worship Lord Narayan. Imagine yourself to be Mother Suniti and having said that. Now it describes that how Dhruva thought about it, he considered what his mother said, and that with determination he went to the forest. But not that his heart was changed. She gave him the right instruction, but not that he felt, oh, okay, I should not do anything, or no, he had his goal and he went towards his goal. So she sets an example of what we could do when the mind is hurt, when ours are hurt. And we see what happens is that he does get purified. And then in the end, he does come back, and the concept of I and my was gone from his heart. Like Mother Mohan Prabhu was talking on Saturday's class, mercy. So it because of the mercy of Krishna, that he got, his heart became pure. And he got the mercy because he approached Lord Krishna. That's how he was able to get the mercy. And he approached Lord Krishna because his mother, although hurt, she gave him the right instruction. And there are other examples also where instruction have been given. I was just thinking about, want to make sure I don't offend Mother Parvati by giving her the two examples that I gave. But so I give the other example of Mother Parvati, was that when Bhrigu came and testing who is the supreme, he insulted Lord Shiva. And at that time, Lord Shiva was ready to pounce on Bhrigu Muni, and it was actually Mother Parvati who pacified him and told him not to do so. So there are other examples that we see that that are there. So in order to, in order for us to be free from this concept of I and my, that we know that the only way is to fall in the footsteps of Mother Suniti. Then we also want, I wanted to mention that how Chaitanya Charitamrita is our postgraduate study. So I would like to think about examples from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we've been studying the story of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Amogha. In that story, again, Sisi is just an amazing, it's an amazing literature. It's just so beautiful. There we hear, we've been hearing that how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, we know his history of first him in one sense insulting Krishna by saying he's formless. But then Lord Chaitanya, so to speak, insults him, if I can say that, but let's at least Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya feels insulted when Lord Chaitanya tells him that what you have said doesn't make any sense. I whatever you have, all this explanation you have expressed does not make sense. Not only that, but you're covering it. And so certainly that was insulting to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he is a great scholar. But then we see when he gets the mercy, and he gets mercy of Gopinath Acharya, his brother-in-law, but how his heart changes. His heart changes to such an extent. And that's where we can shoot for. His heart changes so much that he sees Lord Chaitanya as mine. So that I and my concept can, from I and mine to my blood relations, to Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. And his devotees may be our blood relation, but he showed that how he was so affected when Lord Chaitanya was insulted. And because Lord Chaitanya was his, he felt that Lord Chaitanya is his, that he was able to say such strong words. So he was, I mean, for him to come out and say that, tell my daughter that she should leave her husband. We're not talking about this century right now. We're talking about 500 years ago. And we're talking about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is well known, biggest scholar. And can you imagine? He is saying, that's normally people would not just whimsically say that their daughter should leave their husband. But he said that she should leave her husband because he has insulted Lord Chaitanya. And we also know that his wife said she has so much affection for Lord Chaitanya that she was willing, not willing, she wanted her daughter to become a widow. Let my son-in-law die. Can you imagine a mother saying that? A mother saying that for her daughter? So this is what we can shoot for. To have those feelings of mind for Lord Chaitanya, that we feel insulted when he's insulted. We feel insulted when his devotees are insulted. And that is our perfection. And that is the way that we can actually give up this concept of I and mine, is by actually putting it in the right place. If we put it in the right place, then we won't be cursing and counter-cursing that went on in the sacrifice of Daksha. That will not happen amongst us. And these are all, in the Bhagavatam, it's all devotees. They're all different levels of devotees that all these insults and counter-insults goes on. They're all devotees. And so it's all applicable to us. So here Sutta Goswami is asking us to please don't pollute yourself, or don't get into this petty materialism. Like that word, how it's translated, Dauratmyam, made me think about Durmati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song. Emona Durmati, Samsara Bhitare, Poriya Achinu Ami, Tava Nija Jana, Kono Maha Jane, Patha Ila Dile Tumi. There Durmati is translated as wicked materialism, or wicked mentality, not materialism, wicked mentality. Here's petty materialism. So these are petty things. But we can transcend this by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the Vaishnavas. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you have any questions, please. Yes, Pani Bhushan Prabhu. By the mercy of Mother Mohan Prabhu, we have a mic.
Thinking about the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he went through the options of the modes. He actually didn't suggest that his daughter leave the husband, but sever the relationship with her, which was the mode of goodness approach, after he considered murder, which is in the mode of passion, and personal suicide, which is in the mode of ignorance. He came to a higher, but that was all deliberation, because ultimately he allowed providence to take it.
Thank you.
Its course. And then extending it more towards Amoga, because of being inflicted with cholera, he was forced into introspection. And then he became receptive to the transcendental instruction of the Supreme Lord. So we don't know if Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had fully calculated all those measures, but what's written is that he went through the modes, passion first, then ignorance, and then the mode of goodness. Yeah. Also related with the concept of extinguishing all snake species, Prikshit's son was definitely aware of it before the fact. Everyone was aware that the reason why the king had renounced and spent 7 days at the bank of the Ganges was because of the predictable demise, right? So it wasn't so reactionary, and he didn't personally take action. He recruited the Brahminical order to create a sacrifice. So it wasn't in the mad, as in madness, or rage, as in outrageous behavior. It was quite within the confines of Vedic principle, although he was disturbed by the absence of his father.
What about getting Indra and the host of demigods in the fire sacrifice?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of depth in that. A lot of depth.
Yeah.
Each story has...
layers of, yes. Yeah. But I was trying to avoid a certain that
layer. Dhruva's mother, when you tell the story, I felt it from her perspective, and there's a deep empathy and compassion. And when there's genuine compassion, then you do cry on behalf of the person who's suffering so much. And then because she was obviously a highly educated person and humble, she was able to offer a proper guidance. Anyway.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Tamarash Prabhu.
You know, when you were speaking, I was looking at the clock and I saw it was 9:44. I was thinking, oh, she's not going to conclude her class without quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but then you finally did. And I said, okay, the class is complete this time. So I was thinking of two other examples of great devotees who used that insult to bring about our presence today. Mm. So one is Mother Parvati, again, mm-hmm. when she was insulted by her husband by not sharing Mahaprasad from Lord Vishnu. Mm-hmm. She went to Lord Vishnu and prayed that distribute Mahaprasad to everyone on the planet. Mm. So she used that in a favorable way. And then Srila Prabhupada, when he was insulted by his godbrothers and pretty much be driven out, then he didn't react, but his reaction was that's when, you know, he came to preach Krishna consciousness to give us his entire Bhagavatam and teach us how to deal with these things. Mm-hmm. So, as Prabhupada Nugas, you know, in the middle of your class, you ask, how should we react? So that's one thought that came to my mind by following in the steps of Srila Prabhupada. Get out and preach.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yes, Madan Mohan Prabhu.
I thought of a couple things. This one verse popped into my mind by Queen Kunti, and where 1:8:28 says, "My Lord, I consider your lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller without beginning or end, the all-pervading one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse." So how the I and mine is all connected with that. And I was thinking that the one theme that you notice in the Bhagavad, or actually in all Krishna consciousness, is one has to learn how to tolerate the distress and happiness. And then if that's in the beginning, that you have to learn to tolerate. And then we learned about the tatenu kampam, which is a good way to do that, keep offering obeisances. And then when you graduate, then the nectar of instruction, text one, one who's learned to tolerate the pushings of anger, the pushings, then he can distribute this Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, Varuna.
I have a confession to make.
You're in the right place.
This concept of I and my, it's so deep-rooted, and I've tried to remove it and fail miserably. So, and one of the ways I fail miserably is this my concept, you know. Like, my mind is polluted with love for my sister and brother-in-law. And I have tried so many times to get away from it, but I cannot. If you give classes like this, how am I supposed to get out of this concept of mine?
Hare Krishna. Yes, Sri Devi.
I think it's important to distinguish between materialistic I mind. I know Dharmaraj Prabhu mentioned this in class recently, which is based on the false ego and the material body, and then, but that there is a spiritual I and mine, which we uncover through devotional service. So there is an I and mine because we are individuals, but there's materialistic and there's spiritual.
Yes. Yes, that's very, very important. Actually, you see that in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's case. I was meditating on the pastime, and we see, as I was mentioning, that Lord Chaitanya was mine, but he also considered Amogha as his also. Because if Amogha was not his, he would not have cursed him the way he was feeling towards him, because he felt he was his brother-in-law, you know. And his son-in-law. He wouldn't have reacted if it was somebody else who would have come and done that. So you can kind of feel that sense that was there, but I'm sure that when he became a devotee, that feeling of mine towards Amogha was different, as his heart got purified. Yes. Any other comments or? Yes, Prabhupada
says, one's greatness is measured by his tolerance. But in Bhagavatam, as you were emphasizing, I was just thinking, like, wow, I want that kind of insult, in a sense. I'm not promoting that. That it becomes the most motivation factor to achieve the goal. I'm not saying, I don't know if Dhruva Maharaj was just mildly said, you should look for Vishnu's pleasure, you should go for Vishnu politely. But the incident took place, that insult became the motivation factor. And it became so effective that he achieved the goal. And a lot of, in Bhagavatam we notice. Yeah. I'm not promoting this, but at the same time I think, like, wow, insult is good.
I think what you're saying is you're not promoting, and we don't need to promote, but it happens. It happens anyway. So whether we want it or not, it happens. But that is how it happens. You see what the results. Like, I was thinking about Prabhupada also, when his wife sold his Bhagavatam for tea and biscuits. That insult, got him to move towards what his spiritual master. So it is something that it does it. It gives us a little, Yes. Maharaj.
I'm the only one that dares to argue with Pran Govinda. Not argue. But from the philosophical point of view, I would say the I and mine of Dhruva is actually Maya and useless. The only thing that made it very valuable was that it was connected by Narada Muni to the Lord, to Krishna, and it became very, very valuable. Diteri tamma na pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tadvidyat atmano mayam yata basho yata tamaha. Anything seen without relation to me is just my illusory energy. It has no value. Uh-huh. So it's almost that yukta vairagya is not just an option, but it's a necessity. Otherwise, everything is a big zero. So Dhruva benefited so much. And yes, and then that passionate feeling that he had became his success, or great impetus for his success. The impetus is of action.
Thank you.
Can I share that, Maharaj?
Thank you.
Narada Muni, he was actually lamenting the hatefulness in Jarasandha and the fear of Kamsa. He wanted that kind of absorption. Aveshato gatim itta bahobato gatim gata. So, in a sense, I'm not promoting those, but Narad Muni was lamenting. I wish I would have that absorption Kongsho has, Jarasandha has, so much towards Krishna, that on the stepping, coming down on the stairs, that Kongsho was so absorbed on Krishna, he pulled out the sword. He's right here, I'm going to kill you. And the Keshi comes, sir, my dear king, this is your shadow. How much absorbed, even on his shadow, he's seeing Krishna. I was like, and Narad Muni lamenting, say, I wish I would have this. I'm not trying to promote the demoniac absorption, but it is there. But bottom line, I feel, anything that brings me close to Prabhupada and Krishna, I'll do it, whatever it is, I will embrace it. But if any insult, anything that will take any person away from them, we should stand and fight against it. But if it brings close to me, then I will embrace it. This is just my way of thinking.
No, that's the correct way of thinking. Whatever comes, insult or anything that we helps, it helps us to go towards Krishna. Yeah. Yes, Madam Mohanpuri.
Just the way that I view that same topic is that there's duality and then there's the absolute. So in mathematics, they have absolute value of numbers where they just take away the plus or minus and just see how far it is from zero. So because devotees are on the absolute platform, whether it's positive or negative, that part is removed and they just use it in Krishna's service. So even though it looks like it's so negative, for a devotee he just thinks such an intense emotion because it's absolute for them.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.